Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Ring the Bell. And of course, we are now in Mania Week. We are in WrestleMania Week. Can't wait. But one of the big parts of WrestleMania Week that I always, always look forward to is the WWE Hall of Fame. Every time, there's great speeches, there's great moments, memories, nostalgia. And this year's WrestleMania Hall of Fame obviously has one standout inductee.
Yes.
But all of the inductees, in their own reasons and their own accomplishments, have earned their place. And we are here on this show to basically look at these guys and these people that are inducted. And yeah, I think there's going to be some education there as well, because I think one or two of them, there's not a huge amount known, I think it's safe to say about
fair.
A couple of them.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm the host, Andrew, with me, as always. It's Mr. Ross Bell.
Ahoy there.
I can't believe it. We've had this week's Raw, which, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Incredible. Incredible stuff. SmackDown this coming week. We get the Andre Battle Royal. We get the last attempts of if you need to sell WrestleMania to us, WrestleMania's going to be sold to us. And of course, straight after SmackDown, we have the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame, yeah.
WrestleMania weekend. Okay, right. So as it stands, as we know right now, as of recording of this, we have Muhammad Ali going as celebrity inductee. We have the US Express, which is, of course, Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham. We have Thunderbolt Patterson. We have Bull Nakano. And we have the headliner, Mr. ECW in Philadelphia, Paul Heyman.
I'm so excited to see Paul Heyman get his flowers, because he deserves this. He has been one of the biggest things in wrestling for as long as I've watched wrestling. And before that, he used to be, when I used to watch Saturday afternoon WCW on, must have been ITV, I guess, well back in the day, he was the guy with the mobile phone, the massive mobile phone, the real skeezy heel manager that you really wanted to hate. And then when I was at school, ECW, I didn't watch ECW, I couldn't find it. But there is a little market of kids, about four or five kids in our school that would just trade ECW tapes, actual VHS videotapes. And he was just, when he would get on the mic and he would fire up that crowd, no one has done it better than Paul Heyman in his role. Obviously, wrestlers are fantastic on the mic, but as what he does, he is amazing, absolutely amazing. That promo against Vince, when he just shoots on Vince for 5-6 minutes on SmackDown, is one of the greatest promos of all time. And he told Vince what everyone thought of him long before what happened. So yeah, I'm so excited for him in Philly as well. It's going to be awesome.
Before we get to Heyman, I think we should run down the other inductees. And also, I think for a lot of our listeners, there may be some education here, because some of these are not necessarily known to the mainstream, to the WWE fans, really.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with Thunderbolt Patterson. He was born on July 8th, 1941, born Claude Patterson. He began his career in 1964, mainly in Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas. He was actually blacklisted by the NWA in the 70s because he regularly appeared for Outlaw Promotions, because Outlaw and Pirate Promotions were huge back in the territory days.
Yeah.
He regularly complained about institutional racism and tried to form a union, which, of course, well, really probably even now is a no-no in wrestling. Unions.
Yeah.
No, unions are not a good thing in wrestling. And Patterson tried to start it and tried to call out the racism that was unfortunately prevalent back in those days.
Yeah, it was bad in the 80s and 90s, but imagine what it was like in the 70s. Jesus Christ, it must have been awful for him to try and be a wrestler. I'm just reading through his Wikipedia now, because I know absolutely nothing of the man. The first feud, I can see that he had a feud with Jose Lothario, the weird manager of the Heartbreak Kid.
Yeah, that was a strange time, wasn't it, in the mid-90s? It's hey, look at the Heartbreak Kid, sexy boy Shawn Michaels, and the old Mexican guy managing
my Mexican granddad's with me as well.
Weird, yeah. It seems that Patterson's always was trying to look out for the boys. He was trying to call out racism, trying to call out poor working conditions, trying to make things better, getting the union. For someone who, to a lot of people, isn't really known, he tried to make massive waves, but for the right reasons. Tried to make things better for the people in it. It was, yeah.
a proper good guy in the world of wrestling from back in the day when there weren't a lot of good guys.
In 1975, in Florida, at least, the NWA blacklist was lifted around the time that Dusty Rhodes took ill. I don't know if those two things are linked or it's just coincidence that that's when things changed in the NWA. So, yeah, he won several belts in the NWA, tag titles. I think it's what he tried to do for the business at that time. That for me, looking at it at least, is why he deserves this, because it's trying to highlight a man who tried to make things better in a time that wasn't necessarily good for the business.
Yes, yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, trying to get a union back then must have been impossible. It's impossible now. So, yeah, trying to do that back in the 70s, those promoters were bad, bad men. Like, they didn't care about the work conditions for these wrestlers at all.
Not at all.
Here's your $20. Not even $20. Here's your $10. Off you go.
His last appearance on any major broadcasting was in 1983 at Slamboree for WCW. He was in the ring at a Legends reunion match on the show. He teamed with Brad Armstrong to take on and beat Ivan Koloff and Baron Von Raschke. He also mentored Ice Train, which is a hell of a fucking job to take on for the best of people. And then he retired in 94, and that was it. But yeah, I think I said it's more for what he tried to do in the 60s and 70s that is why he's getting these flowers now, because yeah, he could have made so much difference if he could have got done half of what it seemed he wanted to do.
He's in the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, which is the real Hall of Fame. So I mean, yeah, he deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame regardless of the fact that he's never really wrestled for them.
And I like this. I like that we are now getting people from outside of really, like Sting going in, you know, who's never been WWE. Like Anita going in years ago, who never been WWE. People who almost seem to have been blacklisted from WWE, you know, again, that recognition. And I mean, this is the first Hall of Fame completely under Paul Levesque. There's no Vince McMahon involvement here. And
yeah, there's a Triple H guys.
I wonder if that is going to make a difference on Hall of Fames going forward, that we are going to see a slight change maybe in how people are recognised for the Hall of Fame. So yeah, that's interesting to see. Okay, up next, we have our tag team inductees. We have the US Express. Individually, of course, these guys are incredible wrestlers.
IRS.
IRS, Mike Rotunda, Michael Wall Street, VK Wall Street in WWE. He is known around the world anyway, not just as part of a tag team wrestler. Barry Windham, who at one part of his career was one of the best wrestlers in the world in the NWA. He was outstanding. The stuff he had with Flair and Horseman and Sting, it was superb. And obviously Windham's already in with the Horseman in the Hall of Fame. This is just a second induction. And yeah, this again, they were a very, very good tag team that once going to get in their recognition.
Yeah, I always sort of, I associate them with sort of my early watching of WWE. Even though they probably weren't around in WWE at that time, I always sort of associate them with like the Sheik and Volkov and the Dream Team of Hammer and Beefcake and people like that. Mm-hmm. Like, and Strikeforce, those sort of teams. They're sort of in that mix for me. But I don't think I ever really saw them in a WWE ring, because their run was from 84 to 85. I wasn't watching until 90, 91, 92, something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the impact they've had on tag wrestling is, like you say, Barry Windham was one of the best wrestlers in the world at the time. He had the sort of the pin-up looks as well. And Mike Rotunda, I remember him as IRS, and he was fantastic. He was an incredible heel. Him and Ted DiBiase, like, were such a arsehole tag team. But they were just brilliant. Like, they were so good in the ring. And to wrestle in a tie as well, a shirt and tie and suspenders, is incredible.
Yeah. They won the WWF Tag Team Championships on two separate occasions in the mid-80s. Also, trivia note, Real American was written for them, not Hulk Hogan.
Ooh.
Rick Derringer, a legendary creator and composer of Real American, was working with WWF at the time. He wrote Real American for them. But then when Windham left and the team was split, it was given to Hulk Hogan.
Wow. I bet if you ask Hogan, he was written for him and him only.
Hogan wrote it himself, I'm sure. Yeah. Wrote it in 20 minutes, you know.
Close base on it.
Yeah, recorded it in less than a day. Again, this there's been a lot of talk, obviously, about Bray Wyatt's rumored induction. Obviously, that's not happening this year, and that's fine. It doesn't need to happen. He's got his documentary out now. Watch it. It's all I'm going to say. Just watch it and just be prepared. You are going to cry. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Yeah.
This feels like, because there's going to be a mention of Bray, absolutely, because for Christ's sake, it's his dad. Mike Rotunda is literally his dad, and Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda, was named after Barry Wyndham. Like, it's yeah. And I think Rotunda has talked about when they thought Bray was going to go in, it was obvious, it was a no-brainer. And then when they got the call to say, oh, Hunter wants to do a Zoom call with you, which is where he told them you're going to go in the Hall of Fame, it was kind of, okay, well, Bray doesn't need to go in yet. Like, we can hold off on that. And next year, Bray can headline, and that's fine. He's got the documentary. That's his focus. Let's use a documentary to celebrate the legacy. We don't need to do the Hall of Fame yet. And I'm totally on board with that. I don't think it needs to happen immediately. But yeah, this is going to be really nice to see these two go in, especially given their association and their lineage and history with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, like you mentioned with Thunderbolt, this feels very Triple H-y, because we know he loves Ric Flair and that's those sort of guys. And I would associate Wyndham with Flair. I don't know why, but it's a very Triple H induction, this one.
So even though this team was in the WWF, and not for a huge amount of time, but they were in it, but I don't think, when I think of these two, and obviously I know of the US Express, but you associate, as you said, Wyndham with Ric Flair, and Wyndham with the Horseman, because he went in with the Horseman. You associate Rotunda with, obviously, IRS, or UK Wall Street, or Michael Wall Street in WCW, or the boat captain that he was at one point as well, in the Varsity Club with Rick Steiner. But it's weird how this doesn't feel like a WWF team going in. It just feels like two legends going in who just also happen to be in the WWF. It does have that. And I'm not saying that when Vince was doing the Hall of Fame, he didn't induct guys like this, because he did, clearly.
Yeah.
But this just feels a bit different. This does feel like it's a Triple H induction, almost.
Yeah, it does, which is perfectly fine.
Okay, up next, we have Bull Nakano going in. Now, to WWF fans, she'll be known for her work in the early to mid-90s. She was at WrestleMania 10 with Alundra Blaze. She was great. I remember, because obviously women's wrestling in the mid-90s in WWF was horrendous, was awful, shocking.
It was.
But Bull Nakano stood out because she was different, and she looked different, and she didn't look like Alundra Blaze. And that's the only thing we knew of women's wrestling as WF fan, at least in the mid-90s, was Alundra Blaze. We didn't know about the Japanese promotions,
the
pinnacle of women's wrestling. We didn't know about whatever WCW had, and it wasn't great. But we knew what WF had, and it wasn't a lot. And Nakano stood out.
Absolutely, yeah. When she came in, she was just presented as this monster heel. I think she came in with Luna, didn't she? She was like a friend of Luna's. They were just determined to destroy Blaze. She beat Blaze for the title after losing it. She lose at 10? No, lost at SummerSlam, didn't she?
That's it. Sorry, SummerSlam, not WrestleMania. Yeah. SummerSlam, yes.
And then, she beat her in Tokyo for the title. But like I said, we were wrestling at the time, but it was just... Well, there's Alundra Blaze, and then there's just whoever they can get to come and have a match with her for a pay-per-view. Just to sort of, it almost seemed like an afterthought. And she could go. And some of the stuff that I've seen of her in sort of later than the WWE stuff, she could really go. And for a completely different character, she dropped some weight and she kind of changed her presentation completely. But incredible in the ring. And almost miscast in the era, she would have been great now. If she was in her prime now, mixing with the woman we've got, would have been fantastic.
She actually retired in 1997. So she only retired 3 years after she wrestled in the WWF. Well, 2 years, because she did wrestle in 95. She appeared, I think it was the night after WrestleMania 9, where she was still the champion. She was 134 days she was the women's champion for. Most of that was in Japan. She didn't.
Yeah.
Because I think after SummerSlam, the women just vanished from TV.
Disappeared, didn't they?
Yeah, completely. But
until Trish and Lita came along, there was no women in wrestling.
It didn't exist
really.
Once Blaze threw that women's title in the bin on Nitro, that was pretty much it. But no, again, it's a nice, there's always the female induction, and it's nice to recognize someone who didn't really make their name in WWF. It was an outside force, really.
Yeah.
She was big elsewhere.
Yeah, it's good. Again, it just shows that wrestling is just, it's worldwide. It's not just WWE, and it's good. Like, we've got our WWE people, and they'll always get in there. But yeah, it's nice to have these other inductions as well.
Okay, right. Now, before we get on to the headliner, as we said on a previous show and said at the beginning, at the time we record this, Liam Iveagh has been heavily rumoured for it, but not yet officially announced. That may well have happened by now. If it has, then we can say that outside, I mean, I'll be honest, outside of the fact that she's The Rock's grandmother, I don't know a huge amount about Liam Iveagh. No, I know she was a promoter back in the day.
Yeah, for the Polynesian Pro Wrestling.
That's probably one of the NWA territories, I assume, because they were all over the place.
Yeah, she took over when the High Chief died in 1982. She took over there and kind of ran that until 1989, I think, 1990.
So yeah, it's a nice, I think this is definitely a Dwayne Johnson call if this takes place, and he'll be inducting her. But yeah, so that's just, if she wasn't announced, then you've learned something about her. If she was announced, then we'll see more about her this coming week.
Yeah.
Okay, right. The main event, the headliner. We know who the headliner is. We know all about what he's done and what he is. Paul Heyman.
Yes.
Where to start?
He's had so many iterations of himself, and it's hard to pick a favorite guy. Like, you've got the Advocate, you've got the head, the Wise Man, you've got the ECW guy, you've got Heyman with his guys, and for a man to reinvent himself, but not really change a great deal, but to reinvent himself that many times is phenomenal. We don't need to go into the ECW stuff and how that ended, and that's not what he's been inducted for. Like, the whole money situation, yeah, he owes a lot of people a lot of money probably, but so what? As an on-screen character, he's my favourite manager of all time. I don't think there's anyone that really comes that close as well, to be honest. His character as the Wise Man is my favourite iteration. He is absolutely superb. Because he doesn't need to be doing this now. He could have retired years ago and been quite happy, but he's come back and he looks like he's just having so much fun. The last couple of years with Roman, he looks like he's having the best time of his life.
As well, yeah, for me, the Wise Man stuff is because there is an element of you don't have to be doing this. And that makes me appreciate it even more that he's still doing this, even though he doesn't have to.
Hmm.
And instead, he's clearly having fun doing it. He's getting to work with the biggest star in the company, and then the biggest star in entertainment, you know, and it's, you can see the joy in his face every single week.
Yeah. When the Roman Brock stuff, and when he actually ended up betraying Lesnar to go for Reigns, it's like, oh God, I've, like, you can see him being sort of conflicted between his two guys, like Rock and Roman and Brock are his two guys. And the fact that he ended up picking Roman over Brock was like, well, okay, yeah, like he's moved on now. He's no longer the Advocate.
He may have also had possibly the greatest heel stable ever in wrestling when he was in WWE. He had the Dangerous Alliance, which, first off, is a great stable name for a start.
Yeah.
Secondly, Rick Rude, an early Steve Austin, Arn Anderson, and Bobby Eaton. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's insane. Is a group of guys, isn't it? That is an awesome group of guys. He's also got an incredible story. Like, I've listened to his audiobook where he just got in as a photographer, basically, is how he started and how he worked his way into the business. Just he bought a camera and took, like, basically made himself a part of WCW or NWA at the time, and then WCW after that. And then how he went over to Eastern Championship Wrestling and just converted that completely to ECW. And he's got such a long and winding story. I don't think there's been many better minds in my time of watching wrestling than Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is a genius wrestling booker.
I remember after when the WWE ECW thing all fell apart.
Yeah.
Well, for Heyman's side, after Seb's dismemberment in 2006, and he left, and that was it. And it did feel like that was it for Paul Heyman in wrestling. He obviously had his outside ventures and the Heyman Hustle stuff and all this, and he seemed content. And it was like, okay, he doesn't need wrestling anymore.
Yeah.
Vince felt he didn't need Paul Heyman anymore. There wasn't really a place for Heyman in wrestling anymore at that point. TNA kind of flirted with him, but Heyman would have wanted, Heyman did want complete control there, and they were never going to give that. So, yeah. And then Brock Lesnar came back to WWE, and
Brock can't talk. Brock needs a mouthpiece.
He had 1 week. Brock made that big return after Mania, and then the following week, I think he cut a promo. Then the week after that is when Heyman returned.
Heyman was back.
And he's been there ever since.
Yeah, he was awesome. Commentary, Heyman as well. Him and JR. Oh my God, that's two men that absolutely hated each other. And it worked perfectly as commentary duo.
If WrestleMania 17 needed any more plaudits for why that show's the greatest WrestleMania of all time, as it stands now, Heyman on commentary is the other selling point to that.
He was so good. Yeah, because him and JR was at his peak then, and putting him with Heyman after Lawler quitting was the best thing that could have happened, really. I loved it. He just deserves this so much. I'm so happy that he's getting to go in Philadelphia as well. Like, that's his town. Like, he ran that town for a long time. He's from New York, but he is Philadelphia. He is Philadelphia wrestling, as far as I'm concerned.
I remember seeing a lot when he came back in 2012 that he didn't want to come back. He didn't feel that there was a lot of people they still had issues with after obviously what happened with ECW stuff. And I think I saw that Lesnar basically personally requested, Lesnar had a not great promo with, I think it was John Laurinaitis. And at that point, Lesnar was like, okay, I know what I need here.
Mm.
I want Heyman back. And that was it. Like,
what Lesnar wants is always
Brock
what the key gets as well.
Requested Heyman, and Heyman couldn't really say no, I think, to that.
Yeah, his run when he was with Punk as well was fantastic. It took a dip with Axel and Ryback. We don't talk about that. I reckon that'll be skirted over in his induction speech. But his runs they've just been incredible. Every one of them's been fantastic.
I saw a clip from one of his live shows, his live speaking shows.
And
he was asked about the CM Punk, the alliance with CM Punk, and he said basically got a phone call on a Sunday or Monday morning. I think it was over the weekend. He got a phone call, and it was Vince, and he was like, "Hey pal, what you doing Monday?" And he went, "Well, Vince, I'll be watching TV on Raw. Like, I'll be watching that. That's it." And he went, "Well, it's in Chicago." And he went, "Okay, I'll be watching on TV. That's fine."
Yeah,
he was like, I want you on Raw. Why? I want you to work with someone. I don't know. I've got Brock. I don't need anyone else. I don't want anyone else. And it's like, no, pal, you got to do it. He's like, no, I don't want it. No, I can't. No, it's Brock, and that's it. Okay, who do you want me to work with?
Yeah.
He went, CM Punk. He went, I'll see you in Chicago on Monday, Vince. And that was it, because obviously Punk and Heyman go back. It was Punk. Heyman gave Punk his shot on ECW back in 2006, and it was. If one
Heyman
person,
knows what's money as well, he knows what makes that
if
company money.
One person other than Brock Lesnar was going, the association of being one person other than Brock Lesnar was going to get Heyman back to that company during that time with Brock, it was going to be CM Punk.
Yeah.
And that gave us the forgotten classic of Punk versus Brock at SummerSlam as well.
Yes.
Which a lot of people forget about that, but I love that match.
Mm. Yeah. Who's going to induct him, do you think?
I don't know.
I feel like it'd be an ECW guy, but then they're all a bit mental. Can't be Taz, can't be RVD, because they're both AEW branded.
See, I'm thinking it's probably going to be Punk.
But that would be perfect, actually, yeah. I mean, he's there, already.
It's just, I don't see who else. The people that come to mind, it's not going to be Brock, obviously. And it's going to be interesting how they deal with Brock Lesnar. Like, how do you... Like,
he's got to mention him, isn't he?
You can't not mention Brock Lesnar in the induction speech. You can't. I mean, right now, obviously, Vince's name's off the table, and that's fine. Absolutely understandable. Yes. You don't mention Vince McMahon. But, I mean, right now, Brock's not been accused of anything.
He's just sort of associated with this, isn't he?
But yeah, so it's going to be interesting how they, what Heyman's going to be told he can say, and what Heyman just thinks, fuck it, I'm Paul Heyman in Philadelphia, rely on Mike, that's it. Yeah. But I, at the top of my head, I would think Punk's probably the guy to induct him, because I think can't that's right, think,
yeah.
I know Tommy Dreamer's sniffing around it, because obviously it's fucking Tommy Dreamer, but I...
There's a paycheck involved somewhere.
I wouldn't think someone who once admitted that he wants to kill Paul Heyman at WrestleMania 17 is the right guy to induct Paul Heyman into the Hall of Fame.
Probably not. No, probably a bit of a flight risk, that guy. So yeah, Punk is the guy. Give Punk a mic for 10 minutes to induct him, and then give Heyman a mic for 45 minutes. I'll watch all of it, every single second of it.
There is so much that Heyman has done in his time in the business that is not going to be able to be condensed into a Hall of Fame speech. And I really hope it's not a point where they have to cut him short, or they have to wrap him up and tell him to go home, because...
So Kane did that.
Yeah, Mr. T, I think. But yeah, it's just... It's well overdue, and I think a few times Heyman's been offered it and he's refused it. But mainly because he feels, well, I'm still going. I'm not leaving. Yeah. I'm not stepping down. But I think it being in Philadelphia, I think it was the selling point this year. So, yeah. And so even putting the box, like, it's the stuff with, like, so obviously once Brock left it during the early days of COVID in 2020, and my God, that seems like a lifetime ago now, Heyman was done. Like, he was still working, obviously, as the general manager of Raw behind the scenes, but he was done as an on-screen presence because Brock was gone. And if Brock's not there, well, Heyman's not going to be there on screen.
Yeah.
And then August 2020, Roman Reigns is sitting backstage with Paul Heyman. And it's like,
camera first off, back,
oh shit, Roman's turned heel. Like, that's the big one. Yeah. And then secondly, Paul Heyman's associating himself with Brock's gone. Brock's completely finished at this point. You know, this is six months after Brock's been seen for the last time and the last time for another year. And yeah, it was, you look at what Roman's become over the last 3 or 4 years and the evolution that character's taken as a tribal chief. And Heyman's been firmly, because these two are working on this. Like, nothing happens with the Roman Reigns character that hasn't been signed off by Roman and Paul Heyman. Like, Heyman, I saw an interview you did a little while ago. He has his hands in the visual presentation, the music, the promos, the angles, the every part and every facet of a story that revolves or involves Roman Reigns. Heyman's on it. Like, nothing gets done without those two saying, okay.
Yeah, this is how this is going to be seen, It's perfect. Like I say, he's a genius. Raven called him a genius. Taz and Jim Cornette have also called him a genius. Like, he is, as much as he can be in the world of wrestling, he is a wrestling genius.
You said, how many times he's fallen out of favour with the biggest people in, like, in WWE, they were trying to sack him and fire him for so many years. But the problem is, do not try and mess with someone whose father is a lawyer, because you won't win. And WWE didn't win. And, like, Heyman always did what he has to do to avoid it, because he knew how the system worked. And he then found himself working alongside Vince and then for Vince. And then
he sued WCW and won.
He did. Yep, he did. Fallen out of favor with Vince and Stephanie. And
Stephanie's the one, isn't it? Stephanie's always the one that I always think that's the issue here. I think him and Vince because they had sort of a mutual respect for each other for what they do. But yeah, Stephanie was the one that, like, I don't like him. I can't work with him. Get him gone.
I think Vince always had that thing of, you took me on, like, you fought me, and I'll respect that. I may not like you, but I respect that you fought me and you did what you had to do to survive.
Yeah, same with Bischoff, isn't it?
Yeah, whereas Stephanie, I think, was always that thing of, you're better than me, or you've got you can do this. Like, the SmackDown 6 stuff is legendary.
Yeah,
obviously we can't really talk about one of the people now, but the SmackDown 6 stuff was incredible TV when Heyman was booking SmackDown. And it was the highlight of the company. And it was the best part of WWF TV. WWE
he
TV
took the B show and made it the A show.
And it left Raw so much in the wake. And it was insane.
Yeah.
And Heyman is still... Like, I remember when they announced that Heyman and Bischoff were the general manager of Raw and SmackDown behind the scenes. It was like, how does Heyman keep getting these positions when everyone, apparently he's hated, but yet he keeps getting called upon, and then he gets fired and it's like, okay, well, he's done. It's like, no, he's back again. And he's now in the biggest story. Like, cause no matter what, Roman Reigns has been the biggest thing on WWE TV since 2020 when he turned heel. Paul Heyman's been right alongside him Even the twist of gone with Brock to go back to Reigns, it's Heyman is there, the forefront of everything huge in that company for the last 4 years. Paul Heyman's been there. Against the odds, Paul Heyman has outlasted Vince McMahon.
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah, he just fully deserves this. I cannot wait to watch it.
So yeah, it's going to be special. That's going to be taking place. I think it's live after SmackDown on Friday. So if I wasn't at the point in my life where I can't do 3 sleepless nights in a row, I can barely do 2 these days. I mean, Mania is a struggle.
Yeah. Now.
But I would love to watch SmackDown live and then the Hall of Fame after, because I almost want to experience that in that moment.
I'm at work on a Saturday morning, so I might set an early alarm and just get up and watch this before I go to work.
Yeah, I could do SmackDown, I could do the Hall of Fame. My football team are playing at home on the Saturday, exactly. And we could get promotion on that day, so that's going to be it. And then we've got WrestleMania Night 1 on the Saturday, and yeah, it's a huge weekend. My God, it's going to be, I can't wait. But yeah, it's going to be something special to see Heyman in Philadelphia talking about his career. And can't wait. It's going to be insane.
Yeah.
I don't know who inducts him. They haven't announced. I would say Punk, because he's there. And I think he's less of a risk. And it's weird that CM Punk is a less risky option on the live mic than anyone else you could think of. Like, it's, where are we nowadays where CM Punk is the safe option on the microphone on live TV? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the Hall of Fame. It's going to be good, and it's going to be special, and I can't wait. Okay, there's nothing more to say about WrestleMania. We know what WrestleMania is now. We are ready for it. We will have another show coming out before we hit WrestleMania.
Yes,
we will be bringing you our round table prediction show with us and some different voices that you may recognize from previous episodes of Ring the Bell. So we can't wait for that. It's going to be a lot of different opinions and some good conversations, and that's going to be lots and lots of fun. And then, next week we'll be bringing you the fallout for Mania. We haven't firmly nailed down the plans for releases and what we're going to bring, because we don't really know yet, because it all depends on what we can do and how we're physically dealing with things. I mean, I may be off WWE if we don't get the ending I want tonight too. But I may be done. Like,
just be me. Oh, that's just a stream of consciousness for an hour. Just me.
It's going to be Ross and AI is what's going to be this show now. That's it. It's just Ross and AI doing it. And I'll be bringing you AEW Dynamite starting next week on the Ring of the Bell Network. No, I won't. I won't ever do that. I'll just quit wrestling completely. I'll go to bowls or curling or something. I don't know. I'll do that. Fine. This might be one of my last shows. Who fucking knows? AI is taking over. It might take my place. We use Zoom's summary thing, and we'll just use that.
We'll just press a summary of me talking to the AI for a bit.
Job done. Fine. Just easily replaces me, because I'll be on my self-confessed and self-prisoned absence from wrestling now.
I hate this. We've all had one. I've had one. It soothes the soul sometimes. So, but hopefully we don't get it after this weekend.
Oh, please not. Okay, right. Hall of Fame. Can't wait. That's the highlight. One of the many highlights.
Yeah.
We'll be talking all about it on our WrestleMania Fallout shows next week. If you enjoyed the show, is there anything you want us to talk about or wish we had talked about or didn't talk about, you can contact us in normal ways on Facebook at Ring the Bell Show, on Twitter and Instagram at Ring the Bell Pod. Ross, what's the email and TikTok options for Ring the Bell?
The email is ringthebellpod@gmail.com and the TikTok is ring.the.bell.pod. Nice and easy to remember.
Lots of dots.
But it's lots of dots. Just search Ring the Bell, you'll find us on there.
Yeah, it's fun. If you want to share us and like us and give us a rating and review, it'd be much appreciated. On the different outputs we have on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music Podcasts, and many more. If places do podcasts, you will find Ring the Bell right in there. Okay, enjoy the Hall of Fame. Enjoy WrestleMania. But for now, this has been Ring the Bell. I've been Andrew.
I've been Ross. Andrew.
Yep.
Ring that bell.